Hello, this is Mona Mayers at Life FM, and today our special guest speaking with us is Bruce Fry, who is a country gospel singer and evangelist speaker, and he is based in North Carolina in the United States. And Bruce has kindly joined us here at Life FM via phone call to speak to us about what he will be doing here in just a few weeks' time. So, Bruce, welcome to Life FM, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Mona.
Good morning to you. Bruce will be in Ireland for a country gospel concert. So now, Bruce, I'm going to let you take it away, and we'd ask you to share with our listeners a bit about yourself, how you came to know Christ, your testimony, and the kind of music that you like to share.
All right. Well, I'll just start out with this. I was in country and rock and roll music for over 20-some years of my life. Mm-hmm. I grew up in North Carolina, went to church as a little boy. And so continued my life, since God had given me a talent to sing, I thought he had given me the talent to sing so I could make a lot of money and be rich and famous. And so I pursued that career for years and years and years. Moved to Nashville, Tennessee in 1990, trying to get a major record deal. I had already gotten an independent record deal in Raleigh, North Carolina, but I wanted the major deal. Mm. And so I was in Nashville for over 7 years, from 1990 to 1997, and I had knocked on all the doors, played all the clubs, met all the people, done everything that I could do to get a deal, and all of a sudden, I'm broke, I'm tired, I'm discouraged, wondering what life is all about, trying to get my deal and trying to live life the best I could, and so I went and bought a Bible and started reading, and the more I read the Word of God, the more God convicted me of the sin in my life. And instead of doing what the Bible says, repentance toward God and faith for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd always done things my way. Because I thought if I could just clean myself up, then I could win favor with God, get my record deal, and live a wonderful life.
Yeah.
But I couldn't keep my list, and so I was just discouraged. And so some major things happened, and hopefully the folks there in Ireland can come and hear the story in more detail than they can here on this interview.
Oh, yeah.
But I had prayed and asked God to help me with my finances because I said, Lord, if there's something you want me to do besides what I'm doing with my life, I want to do it. But I said, I can't even think good because I'm in so much debt and so much trouble. And so I prayed and asked God to help me with that. And as I was reading the Bible, about a week later, I got a check in the mail because I had been on the Matlock television show back in the early 90s.
Oh, really?
They paid me to do that. Yeah. They paid me to do that show. I never expected any more money from them, but they had used two of my songs, so I got a royalty check in the mail. And then, but as I looked at the check came from Denmark and Canada.
Oh.
And I had done the Matlock show in North Carolina. So that was kind of strange to me. So I went down to ASCAP, the ASCAP corporation that I belong to. They collect your royalties if you're on television or radio. And so I went down there and I said, look, I said, you people sent me this check and I was glad to get it, but I don't understand why I got it. And the lady there looked at me and she said, are you a member with us? I said, yes. She said, are your songs copywritten? Are they cataloged? Are they published with us? I said, no. She said, then we don't owe you any money.
Oh,
and I said, well, why did you send me a check? And she said, I don't know. And so she punched some numbers in the computer and found out that there was a lot of money in there for me. But I couldn't touch it because I didn't have all my paperwork in order.
Oh, my.
And so she helped me. She helped me get all that together. And then once that happened, she said, now, Bruce, I'm going to submit this, and they're going to send you some money. I just don't know how much. And in January of 1998, three major things happened. And the first major thing was they went back to the very first time they aired that show and paid me up to that date, and it was for thousands of dollars.
Oh, and goodness.
It was amazing. I had been in the music business over 20 years and never seen a check that large.
Oh, my.
But you see, you know, Mona, I wanted to be rich and famous because I love money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil, but the love of it
is. Yes, you're right.
But all of a sudden, God was taking my love of money out of my heart, because when I got that check, I remember standing beside the mailbox and looking up to heaven saying, God, thank you for sending me this, but why am I still so miserable? And so the next thing that happened in January of 98 is I have a gospel track with a picture of me and a famous country music singer on the front. His name was Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, okay.
And that picture was taken at a club in Nashville, Tennessee, where I used to play all the time. And the owner of that club, January the 21st of 1998, was on his way to work at 4:30 in the afternoon, broad daylight, and two men jumped him and robbed him and killed him.
Oh, goodness.
And so I went to his funeral a few days later, and it really, really upset me because he was my friend, and I was already thinking about life and death, and here my friend had died. And that's when I called my brother Sammy on the telephone, because my brother Sammy was a Christian. Mm-hmm. At that time, I didn't know he had been praying for me for 21 years to be saved.
So
I called him, told him that my career was at a standstill and I was struggling. My friend had just died. Sammy prayed for me on the telephone, and a few days later, I got a letter in the mail from him. And it was, Mona, I'm telling you, it was like a hug from North Carolina to Tennessee.
Oh, gracious. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and it was... In that letter, he told me that he loved me, but he didn't love me like God loved me. And he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ in that letter with me. And he encouraged me to read the gospel of John, the next time he called me, he said, "Have you read the gospel of John?" I said, "I've read it 5 times.
Oh,
and so
yes.
I was really, really searching, you know.
Yes, yes, of course.
And so once I got that money and then my brother wrote me that letter, then... my band members and I, we played at a place called Wintergreen, Virginia. It was a ski resort.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, we would play Tuesday through Saturday. And sad to say, my old life is that we would play for 4 hours and then party all night, sleep during the day. That was just what I did.
Mm.
But this year was different for me, because I was reading the Bible, trying to do some things different. And I did really good all week long. And then... what happened was Saturday came and I had to get up early in the morning and drive to Raleigh, North Carolina, 3.5 hours to sing one song at my friend's wedding.
Mm.
And after I sang that song, I was heading back to do my last night with my band. And the pastor that preached that wedding that day and performed that wedding walked up to me and said, "Hey, I enjoyed your singing. Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure, preacher, what's that?" He said, "Bruce, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born again?" And I started crying right in front of him. And I said, "Sir, I thought I did that when I was a 13-year-old boy."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "But I'm reading the Bible, and I've made a list for myself that I'm trying to keep. And I said, I'm doing the best I can." And he told me that day, he said, "Bruce, you can do the best you can and die and go to hell."
Yes.
He said, "You need to put your trust and faith
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. He's Amen. The best."
That's right.
And I said, "Yeah, I've been hearing about that." And so after that, I went back to Wintergreen that night to finish my last night with my band. And they gathered around me and they said, "Bruce, you've been here with us all week and you're not partying. You're not drinking with us. Don't you love us anymore?" I said, "Yeah, I love you guys, but I'm trying to change my life." And, you know, and I said, "Well, you could have one drink. It wouldn't kill you." And I said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. To celebrate our last night, I'll have one drink, but don't ask me to have any more." And they said, "Okay." So I had that one drink, Mona, and the next thing you know, I had another one and another one. And there I went.
Yeah.
I went right back to doing the same thing I was doing before.
Yeah, that's a common story. It sure is.
It is. So when I woke up that next morning, I was so ashamed about what I'd done the night before. I looked up to heaven and I said, "God, I don't want to do this anymore, but I can't quit."
Mm-hmm.
And so I woke up all my band members, drove them 3.5 hours to Raleigh and dropped them off. And then I drove another hour and a half to my brother's church. He had invited me to come in here and preach that night.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. So when I got there, the church was packed and they were standing up singing a song. So I slipped in the back hoping nobody would see me. And, my brother didn't know I was there, and he preached the gospel that night. And at the end of the service, he invited people to come forward to trust Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But Mona, I was so full of pride, I couldn't move. You know,
yes.
I felt like I was a hometown boy that went to Nashville to be a star, and everybody knew my name. So I just stood there and wept.
I understand. It's not easy.
And so... No, it's not. It was a hard thing for me because I was so full of pride. And then my brother made this statement. He said, well, he said, we're going to end the service. And if you're not sure heaven's your home, would you at least let me pray for you before you leave? If you'll raise your hand, I'll do that. And that's when I raised my hand at the back of the church and he prayed for me, not knowing it was his younger brother.
Oh, my God.
And I ran out of church. And the next day we had lunch together and he shared the gospel with me. And after I understood everything that he said, you know, he said, Bruce, you're a sinner, aren't you? And I said, yes, I know I'm a sinner. And he said, well, he said, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You deserve to go to hell because you're a sinner. And I didn't understand that, but he explained it to me because he said, Bruce, if you work a job and you get paid wages, you deserve the wages when you do the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. He says, well, God says you deserve hell because you do the sin. And man, I went, well, I guess I deserve hell because I've done the sin. He said, that's right, you do. But he said, you don't have to go to hell because Jesus left heaven and took the hell on the cross for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shared Romans 5:8, God committeth his love or demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and shared many other scriptures with me. And there, sitting in his car with an open Bible, he said, Bruce, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, wouldn't you like to call on him right now and ask him to save you from your soul or from your sin? And I said, no, not right now, Sammy. And he said, okay. And he prayed for me, and I drove back to Nashville. And it was a week later, when I was in my apartment one night, and I had just come to the point where I couldn't stand it anymore. And I just fell on my knees beside my bed, and I cried out to God. I don't remember everything I said, but I remember the first thing I said was, God, I don't understand it all. But I'm miserable, and I know I need you in my life, and I'm sorry for everything I've ever done that was displeasing to you. God, please forgive me.
Yes.
And then I looked at my clock, and it said 12:30, and I wrote down these words. I gave my heart and life to Jesus at 12:30 because I didn't want to forget it.
Oh, hallelujah.
And from that day to this day, my life has never been the same.
Well, God was really working on your heart. He knew that you needed him, as we all need him. But that's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. That's a wonderful testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I sure am looking forward to coming to Ireland to share.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we sure are ready and waiting and hungry to hear everything you have to say. So then eventually you turned towards, tell us a little bit about how you kind of waded into the country gospel side of your music.
Yeah, I was in country and rock and roll music for so many years, and so I wasn't sure if I could even use my instrument for God because, you know, music had been a god of my life, I guess you would say it that way.
Yeah.
And so I just prayed, knelt beside my guitar one day. I said, God, if I can use this instrument for your glory, I want to. But if I can't, I said, I'll burn it. I'll throw it away. I'll sell it, whatever.
Amen.
But that's when God started giving me ideas for songs, and I started writing. And I don't play the kind of hard country rock and roll like I used to.
Yeah,
my style is more ballads, kind of folk music, if you will.
Yes.
But the very first song that I wrote after I got saved was a song called That Was Me. Because after I got saved, I came back to North Carolina. My brother and his wife took me out and his children and bought me a steak dinner and a birthday cake to celebrate my born-again birthday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Getting ready to blow the candle out, and I looked at my brother across the table, and I said, Sammy, before I blow this candle out, do you remember a couple of Sunday nights ago and you preached a message and you asked somebody if they weren't sure they're going to heaven and you could pray for them, and somebody raised their hand that night? He said, Bruce, I'll never forget that night.
Oh.
I said, Sammy, that was me. That was your brother back there. And he said, you got to be kidding me. Well, thank the Lord. I am looking so forward to coming there and sharing what God has put on my heart. I'm praying over the messages and praying what God would have me to do. And so I thank you all for allowing me to come. I'm really looking forward to it. Old country boy coming to Ireland. That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
But we sure are looking forward to seeing you here. Just hearing more of your testimony and your stories about all the churches you travel to and all the people that you speak to and speak to the hearts with your testimony, because that could be any one of us saying the same thing. And it's just so wonderful to hear a real, real Christian, a real person that really loves God enough to give their life for whatever he wants you to do. And you are doing a great service to to us all, and I thank you
for
that.
Well, thank the Lord. You know, the night that I got saved, you know, first of all, I asked him to forgive me, and then secondly, I said, from this day forward, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do, and so for the last 17 years, that's what I've been doing. He's been sending me all over the country and out of the country, and it's just amazing. So I'm really looking forward to coming back to Ireland. I hate my family can't come with me this time, but if you would ask your listeners to pray for my father-in-law, his name is Don Inman, I-N-M-A-N.
Okay.
And he's in the hospital right now, and unless God does something, he may be going to heaven here in a couple of days.
Okay.
But I know that God could miraculously heal him. I understand that. But if you would pray for my father-in-law, I would really appreciate that.
We sure will.
Don?
Don is Donald. His first name. Yeah. Inman. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we sure will do that. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here. And we are looking forward to seeing you. And God bless you. And I was just going to say that when you give your life to God and say, send me anywhere, tell me what to do, and you do it, God's going to keep you real busy. And he's going to bless your life beyond expectations. Because, you know, there's never enough people like you. And you're far and few between. And praise God. And God bless you for it. Thank you so much for you, Bruce, for coming on and speaking to me. And we will see you here in person in 2 weeks' time, 23rd of June. We just can't think of a better way to celebrate our 25th anniversary. Praise the Lord.
Well, thank you so much, Mom. God bless you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Bruce. Okay, so just a reminder of what this country gospel concert is that we're all talking about here in 2 weeks' time on the 23rd of June. It's actually a live country gospel concert on the Inishmore Green in Ballincollig, Cork. And it's all day Sunday, the 23rd of June, starting at 11 a.m. Our 25th anniversary in Ballincollig and Blarney. We're inviting everyone to come and celebrate with us and to enjoy a free country gospel concert. And the concert will be held outdoors on the green. And our guest performer is Mr. Bruce Fry, who's from North Carolina. He's an accomplished singer and gospel speaker. And so that all starts at 11 a.m. on Sunday, June 23rd, and it is completely free. Also included in the concert, we're having an outdoor community picnic with free burgers, hot dogs, salads, desserts, all of that for anyone who attends the concert. During the afternoon, there will also be puppets performing for children, face painting, bouncy castles, family treasure hunt, a balloon release, as well as at least one more second concert performed by Bruce. So people are welcome to come, any and all, have a chat, listen to the great music. Your heart, I'm sure, will be warmed and encouraged in the spirit. And so bring visitors and just come out to enjoy yourself and have a blessing and be a blessing too. In case of inclement weather, the concert will be held inside Units A and B, located just on the corner of the Enterprise Business Park next to the green.